to a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we we thank you for your promised presence now. And through this service, Lord, we know that you're here because you promised. And we pray, Lord, as we just look at this account of this tremendous conversion, we will receive from you, Lord, that we might have open hearts, minds, and a real sensitiveness to your prompting, Holy Spirit, to just not be hearers of your word, but to seek to live out your living word in our lives. So, Lord, we pray just now what we know not you will teach us from your word. What we have not, you will give us. And what we are not, you will make us by your indwelling Holy Spirit's power and possession of our lives as we seek to live for you, to your praise and your glory. Praying these things again in that name which is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, then, as I say, this account of Zacchaeus is well-known story of many stories in the Bible that we have the privilege of reading. And this is the story of the conversion of Zacchaeus. And you know, I was brought up in the Sunday school at Chipping. My father was the superintendent there, and we had the Cliff College choruses, even before I had the privilege of going to Cliff College, and we sung them there, but we also sung them in Sunday school. And this was one that we sung, and it was probably one of the most popular choruses, and I think it was 108 in the Cliff College chorus book. And I'm not going to sing it, not really. Probably Alan could sing it better than me. I'm not going to sing it, but I think it went something like this. Now, Zacchaeus was a very little... There were actions as well, but I'm not going to do them neither. Now, Zacchaeus was a very little man. There's a lady here going to do it for us. Well done. A very little man was he. If you know it, join with me. Climbed into a sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. For the Saviour he wanted to see. Now, when the Saviour passed that way, he looked into the tree and said, "Now, Zacchaeus, you come down." Why? "I'm coming to your house for tea." And that was a celebration. Only the queen that's having the celebration in the Pall Mall, but this was a personal invitation and personal celebration. So all I'm going to do morning. Time's going on. Just simply go through this lovely story. And it's so, you know, it's so real. It's so real. It's so how Jesus is. You know, Jesus lived on earth over 2,000 years ago, but he's still here today. Not in person, but in the person of his Holy Spirit. So even though Jesus has gone and he's seated at God's right hand, even now, can we take this in? This is mind-boggling, isn't it? Seated at God's right hand, praying for us. Praying for us. That's what he is. That's what Jesus is. That's our Saviour, isn't he? So Jesus, beginning of the first verse, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jesus wasn't staying in Jericho. He was just passing through. And why was he passing through? He was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. On his way to Calvary. On his way to die in your place and mine. But on his way, he's going through Jericho. And we read in the previous chapter how he healed the blind man. And Jesus was always amongst the people, wasn't he? Almost amongst the people. The people crowded around Jesus. Whenever they could get a chance, whenever they heard that Jesus was passing through, passing by, they would crowd Jesus. They would be there. Because Jesus had the words of life. He spoke like no other. Because Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God, spoke life through his living words that he spoke to the people. So he's passing through. And he's going ultimately to the cross to die for you and for me. Never, friends, never forget that. Never, if you forget anything else, never forget that Jesus came to die in my place, in your place. And he didn't deserve to die, did he? Jesus didn't deserve to die. The only, Jesus was both human and divine. The only human being that's ever lived, sinless, perfect, Son of God. But he was going willingly to die in our place. And Zacchaeus' place as well. Individual Saviour. And we read that in verse 2, there's a man there named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was, I think we can put it quite bluntly, he was a bit of a rogue, wasn't he, Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector. Radio was a public thing, but he was a tax collector. He would be a Jew working for the Romans, collecting taxes. And if that wasn't bad enough, we realise later on in the story that he was stealing money for himself, not doing his job, only doing his job. He was going beyond that, if that's the right phrase, but he was stealing from his own people. So Zacchaeus wouldn't be very popular, would he? He'd be very unpopular. But he was there. And he was there. And whether he'd ever met Jesus before, we don't know. But he was certainly going to meet Jesus this day, wasn't he? And he was there. And he was in that situation, and his curiosity or whatever, whether he was convicted and he'd heard Jesus before, he was convicted of the things that he was doing wrong, and he wanted to meet with Jesus. Well, there was no one better to meet, was there? No one better for Zacchaeus to meet. And so he sought to see Jesus who he was. And he had a problem. Zacchaeus had a problem. He was little. Nothing wrong with little people. What did they say? Good things come in small packages. But Zacchaeus was little. And because of the crowd, he found it difficult. But he was a seeking soul. And that's the wonderful thing about the gospel. No one is too small, stature-wise, or too small in their maybe occupation. Or too great. The kings and queens, the prime ministers, the presidents. Nobody. No one, no human being is outside God's love through Jesus. And Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was. And that's still the same today. You know, there's men and women, boys and girls, young people seeking the Saviour today. And that's wonderful. It's great to see you here at Merton Top today. I trust we've come to worship and seek God's face. And because Zacchaeus was little, small, he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree because he knew Jesus was going to pass that way. So I like the eagerness of Zacchaeus. You know, he ran. He wasn't just doing this half-heartedly. He was a man, a little man, on a mission to see Jesus. And because he was little, he climbed into the tree, into the sycamore tree. Now we don't know, we're not told whether it was summer, winter, or spring, or autumn, but if it was summer time, just like we're experiencing summer now, it's come, and the leaves are in full bloom, and if Zacchaeus' idea was to see Jesus, but for not Jesus not to see him, he probably couldn't have climbed a better tree to be able to be discreet, as it were, to be able to see Jesus. And so that's what he did. He climbed into the sycamore tree for the best vantage point, probably, that day, so that he could have a look and have an encounter with Jesus. And then we read, moving on into verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, I love that phrase. In fact, I've got it underlined. I've got it underlined in my Bible in red. When Jesus came to the place. You know, friends, Zacchaeus could have climbed the tallest tree in Jericho. Jesus still knew where he was. He not only knew where he was physically, he knew what his spiritual state was. Jesus knew exactly where he was in every sense of the word. So he stood at the bottom of the tree. Now, Zacchaeus was thinking of just going up the tree, looking at Jesus and hiding. Jesus stood at the foot of the tree and looked up. He'd feel like falling out of the tree if it was such a shock to him. But we don't know that. That's just my interpretation. I'd be totally wrong. What did Jesus say? And just to go on from that, that Jesus knew exactly where he was. And friends, that's just the same today. Not only does Jesus know that we're in Martin Top Chapel, he knows everything about us. He knows our spiritual state. He knows our physical well-being. He knows everything. In fact, he's the only one that does. But I'm so thrilled and so glad that Jesus is and can be, if he isn't already, can be the greatest friend. More than that, a saviour that can save us and keep us from not only now, but right through into eternity. Heaven is where Jesus is. Not matter, what does that song say? No matter where, no matter what, where Jesus is, it is heaven there. And this down here on earth, friends, this is just a foretaste, just a small, like the falling of the leaf, as that one of the songs says. Time at best is very brief. Time down here in comparison to eternity. So Jesus' desire for all of us, for each one of us, as it was for Zacchaeus in that day, was that our relationship, our recognition as sinners needing the Saviour, is right ere that he either comes, and the day of Jesus coming again is getting ever nearer. The Bible tells us none of us know the day nor the hour, but it's getting ever nearer. Or when we're called, and we trust, called home to heaven. And then even forevermore. I'm excited about heaven. Are you, friends? Are you excited about heaven? I'm excited. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know if Jesus is there, that it'll be wonderful. Wonderful beyond words. So, what did he say to Zacchaeus? What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? Come down. For today, I must abide your house. So Jesus gave a personal invitation for Zacchaeus to come down, and that he was going to have more than tea, more than whatever it was they were having, to have fellowship and have an encounter with the living Lord Jesus. And again, I like this verse 6. Zacchaeus didn't hang about, did he? The Bible tells us he made haste. So he was eager to run and climb into the tree, and he was eager to come down and meet with Jesus, so he had that desire to make a purpose effort to meet an encounter with Jesus, the living Lord Jesus. So he went home to his house, and he made haste, and he received him joyfully. Oh, what an encounter that would be, wouldn't it? A personal encounter with Jesus. That would be real. And something that Zacchaeus would never, ever forget for the rest of his life. And right through for him in eternity now. What did the crowd think about this? You know, human nature never changes, does it? Human nature is just the same then as it is today. What did the crowd think that Zacchaeus, they knew he wasn't a good man. They knew he was probably a fraud. They didn't think it was right for this man, Zacchaeus, the sinner, to go to be with Jesus, or for Jesus to go to Zacchaeus' house. But you know, the Bible tells us. The Bible has the answer again, hasn't it? God's word always has the right answer. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners, like me, sinners like all of us, each one of us, sinners like Zacchaeus, might come and repent of sin. And what was the result? Verse 8 now, we're in verse 8. We're getting near the end. What was the result of this personal encounter with Jesus. Zacchaeus' personal encounter, one-to-one. Well, it's great, isn't he? It's immediate. The transformation in Zacchaeus' life. He'd done things wrong in the past, now what did he say? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, and it would be in the hearing of others as well, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And that's what happens. It's 47 years since I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life. Knew as a sinner, heard the gospel message many times, and needed the Saviour. And the first thing that we do when we get as close to Jesus as we can, that personal encounter at the foot of the cross, the first thing we want to do is confess our sins. Get without anything that's gone on in the past in order to have a right and clean relationship with the living Lord Jesus. And that was the same with Zacchaeus. Restitution. Immediately. Not putting it off, but immediately wanting to put things right. And that's how it should be. You know, a number of years ago now, there was a mission in Belfast, and it was a mighty move of God, and literally hundreds of people were converted, born again of the Spirit of God, had their lives turned around. And a lot of those that were converted were shipyard workers, shipbuilders at Harland and Wolff. And what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The men were so, well, it was real conversion. This wasn't just head knowledge, this was heart conversion. So converted were they, transformed, renewed, restored, that what they'd done in the past, during their employment with Harland and Wolff, they call it pilfering, I think, but the proper word is stealing. They used to steal equipment from their employers. And over the years, it had mounted up to so much, and this is as true as I'm stood here, Harland and Wolff had to build a warehouse to accommodate all the equipment that had been stolen over the years. And that's what Jesus does. That's restitution, restoration. And that's what happened in Zacchaeus' life. When God puts his finger upon one thing or another in our lives, I trust we go to him and say we're sorry. Even when we're Christians, we still aren't 100% perfect. But we can come to him and say we're sorry. Restitution. And then we move on to verse 9. Household salvation. And Jesus said unto Zacchaeus, this day, and there was no doubt about it, was there? This day is salvation come to this house. Tremendous. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. So salvation had come not only to Zacchaeus, but household salvation. I know, friends, you might be in a position here. I don't know you. No, one or two of you don't know you, but you may be, in your family, you may have friends, family members, that you've been praying for to come to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've prayed, maybe, for years, and there doesn't seem to be anything happening. But, friends, can I encourage you to pray on, keep praying, for your children, grandchildren, those close to you, those further afield, maybe work colleagues or whatever, neighbours, those you rub shoulders with. You know, we have a lady at Crown Lane, I know Elsie won't mind me saying this, Elsie, and she's over 90, and Elsie got converted, I'm only guessing, but it'll definitely be over half a century ago, 50 years ago. And yet her husband, Jim, never came to that place. And Elsie, and no doubt her family as well, sons and daughters and grandchildren, They've been praying for the granddad, the father, the wife, for a long while. A long while. And praise God. Well, God answers prayer, don't he? So if I were, I'm not going to do it, but if I was to come down to talk to one another of you, you'd be able to say, God answers prayer. Not in our time, sometimes. We have to be patient. Uncle George Parkinson prays, did pray and will pray. Our times are in his hands, and his ways are higher than our ways. But anyway, praise God. Elsie's prayers and the family have been answered because her husband, Jim, is now coming to service, to worship with her. What a thrill. I cannot describe what a thrill it must be for those that have prayed. And maybe not yet right through, but I have the privilege of sitting behind Jim on a Sunday morning at Crown Lane, and he's certainly singing the hymns, and we pray. We'd love to put our arms around him, wouldn't we? And just bring him in. It doesn't happen that way, but we can pray him in. That's even better. So keep praying for your loved ones and your family. And the last verse. The time is gone. Overgone. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus' mission still goes on. And we're talking about the Queen being the greatest ambassador. We're his ambassadors. We are his living witnesses today. And we, those that know him in this service this morning, though know him as Saviour, I'm sure your desire is to be available. We sing a hymn, it's in this book. Here I am, wholly available. That's for me. I will serve the Lord. So that's our desire, isn't it, as Christians? For Zacchaeus was a transformed man. Never be the same again. And I trust that we have an encounter and continue to have an encounter through the reading of this precious book. The better we get to know him, and this is how we get to know him in prayer and Bible reading, the more we want to share this good news with a world out there that doesn't know. But we can be his ambassadors. Just pray that he'll empower us to do that. And we pray that he'll use us to his glory. Amen.